You know, there's an interesting book in the Bible called Ecclesiastes, and it is attributed by most scholars to Solomon. In fact, Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 1 said the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Israel, and verse 12 of chapter 1 says, I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. So it's safe to assume that this was Solomon who wrote this book. He describes in this book his search for the meaning of life. In chapter 1 again, in verse 13, he says, I set my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all that is done under heaven. This burdensome task God has given to the sons of man, by which they may be exercised. He said his search pertains to life under the sun. That's a phrase that he used 29 times in 27 verses. So it's suggesting a look at life from a mostly worldly point of view. Again, we go back to chapter 1 of Ecclesiastes in verse 3, and he says, what profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? Solomon's message may seem rather negative. A major theme is the vanity of life. Vanity, the word, is used 35 times in 29 verses, like in chapter 1, verse 2, and verse 14. And yet he mentions words other than vanity throughout this text. He mentions the word joy 3 times, enjoy 3 times, enjoyment twice, the word rejoice 4 times, and joyfully is used once. In fact, this whole book provides us with counsel on how to get the most out of life, how to find the joy in a life that is filled with vanity. Ecclesiastes 2, verses 22 through 24. So to find such joy, we first must face the reality of the vanity of life. This was the preacher's experience. He begins in chapter 2 in verse 1 and talks about the vanity of pleasure. And he talks about the vanity of industry or labor in chapter 2. And again in chapter 4 in verse 4. In chapter 2 he talks about the vanity of human wisdom in verse 15. And in verse 17 he talks about the vanity of all life. And again in the following verses in chapter 2 he talks about the vanity of leaving an inheritance. So that's his experience. But he also had a few observations. In chapter 3, he talked about the vanity of an earthly existence in verses 19 through 21. In chapter 4, he talked about the vanity of acquiring riches over family in verses 7 and 8. Again in chapter 4, in verse 16, he talked about the vanity of political popularity. And in chapter 5, in verse 7, he talked about the vanity of many dreams and many words. And then in chapter 5, in verse 10, he talked about the vanity of loving abundance. And in chapter 6, in verse 2, he talked about the vanity of wealth without the gift of God to enjoy it. He talked about the vanity of wandering desire in chapter 6, in verse 9. He talked about the vanity of foolish laughter, chapter 7 and verse 6, and the vanity of injustice in this life, chapter 8 and verse 14. And also in chapter 11 and verse 8, he talked about the vanity of the days of darkness. And in chapter 11 again, in verse 10, he talked about the vanity of childhood and youth. So he had his observations and he had his views about this and his own experiences. So he comes to a conclusion, and it's stated in his prologue in chapter 1 and verse 2. He said, vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Now, before describing his search for this meaning of life in chapter 1 and verse 14, he says, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed, all is vanity and grasping for the wind. You know, there are a lot of people that have come to the same conclusion and fallen into the same despair and despondency. And yet the preacher would have us to learn from him and know how to find true joy in life. So when we talk about the joy in life, let's talk about the preacher's experience. Solomon was wealthy beyond imagination. He was a king of Israel, and he had wisdom that was given to him by God. He was the smartest man alive, and yet he experienced joy in his life. He said his heart rejoiced in labor, in working. Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 10, whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all labor. And this was my reward from all my labor. This reward of his labor was the joy that he had in doing it, according to verse 10. But his observations about this, we see in chapter 2 and verse 24, he said that nothing is better than to enjoy the simple things and what you do. The ability to enjoy what you have and what you do comes from God. He tells us that in verse 24 through 25 of chapter 2. He says, nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also, I say, was from the hand of God. For who can eat, or who can have enjoyment more than I? Remember, he was wealthy beyond imagination. He was the king of Israel. In fact, during his reign over the king of Israel, he became a world power. He had more land than any other king of Israel ever had. So who can eat, or who can have enjoyment more than I? There was nothing he couldn't have or do. And yet he understands that God gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy to the man good who is good in his sight. He tells us in the next verse, in verse 26 of chapter 2, that God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight, but to the sinner he gives the work of gathering and collecting, that he may give to him who is good before God. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind. He says here, the wicked acquire many things, but it will eventually be given to the good. Chapter 2 and verse 26. But he tells us in chapter 3 that man should rejoice and do good. In chapter 3 and verse 12, he says, I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives. Every man should enjoy the good in their labor and understand that it is a gift from God. Chapter 3 and verse 13. But in chapter 3 and verse 22, he tells us that the joy of one's work is his heritage, not what may happen after he is gone. And again, this is one's heritage that is a gift from God. That's what Solomon tells us in chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. And he tells us in verse 14 of chapter 7 that in the day of prosperity, rejoice. And in the day of adversity, contemplate, think. And so he commands enjoyment of the fruit of one's labor in Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 15. And again, the preacher has a conclusion. In chapter 9 and verse 7, he says, eat, drink, and do so with a merry heart. He says, express your joy in how you live. Chapter 9 and verse 8. And live joyfully with your wife whom you love, Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 9. And then he says in chapter 11 and verse 9, enjoy your youth, yet remember you will be accountable. Therefore, remove sorrow and put away evil, for youth is short-lived. That's what he tells us in Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 10. He said, for childhood and youth are vanity. And then I like what he says in chapter 12 and verse 1. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is your reason for living. He says that's the whole conclusion. That's the conclusion of the whole matter in verse 13 of chapter 12. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. Solomon said he had looked in every aspect, every corner, everything that the world had to offer for the meaning of life, and he said it was all vanities, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. He tells us that life under the sun, where he has looked, is vanity. It's empty. It's meaningless. It's useless without God. Without God in our lives, there's no meaning in our life. Without God, we'll not be able to truly enjoy our time on this earth. Life under the sun can be filled with joyful experiences and many joyful memories. But it's when God guides us in keeping our priorities in life straight. With God to bless us with the wisdom and ability to enjoy what is good there is in life. To find joy in the vanity of life, he says, remember your Creator, fear God, and keep His commandments. Today, that especially means paying heed to His Son and our Savior. You know, I preached a sermon about this several years ago, and one of the points that I made in it was that the older I get, the younger the people are in the obituary column. And it doesn't change. With every passing year that I get older, the people get younger. But at the same time, I look at the young people that are dying, and they feel like or seem to have this attitude that they're going to live forever, and they want to sow their wild oats while they can, while they're young. But those oats are going to come back and have to be reaped. You're going to have to harvest at some point. So why not take, as Solomon says here, fear God and keep His commandments. This is the meaning of life. And to remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before those difficult days come when you have to harvest what you have sown. The Hebrew writer tells us in chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, that God, who at various times and in various ways, in times past, spoke to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom He also made the worlds, who, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. God wants us to listen to His Son. He gives us the commands, the essentials, the outline of life. All we have to do is simply obey what Jesus tells us to do. I want to thank you for joining me today. If you have any questions or disagreements, look me up on Facebook. You can look me up on the church website here at Eastside. That's church@eastside.com. There are other lessons there. There are bulletin articles that you can read. The times of our services are there as well. If you'd like to join us, we'll meet this morning at 9 a.m. for Bible classes. And we'll have Bible classes for all ages. We'll have services at 10 a.m. And then we'll have services again this evening at 5 p.m. And then we have a midweek Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for all that would like to join us. We're having a study in the book of Genesis right now. We're going through the Bible. Genesis, the Old Testament on Wednesday night, and the New Testament on Sunday mornings. And in Sunday mornings, we're around Matthew chapter 9 and 10. So come and study with us the Word of God. All we want to do is preach the truth. Again, thank you for being with us this morning.